This is Alive with Joseph.
I want us to keep standing, and if you're at home, those of you that are online at home, please, I want you to stand as well for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Judges chapter 6 from verse 1 to 14. Judges chapter 6, I'm starting there from verse 1 to 14. I'm reading the NIV translation. Follow me carefully. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites because the power of the Midianite was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me.' The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?'" Now go with me to the same Judges chapter 8. I read the verse 22. This time around, New Living Translation. It says, "Then the Israelites said to Gideon, be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian." Amen. I wanted to look for 5 people on my behalf. Announce to them, you have entered your season of a quantum leap. You have entered your season of a quantum leap. You have entered your season of a quantum leap. You have entered your season of a quantum leap. Now lift your voice and go ahead and give the Lord your praise tonight. Please, you may be seated. Welcome to service tonight. With a few minutes we have left, I'm going to do my best to share with us what God is laying in my spirit for us in this season. As we begin to wrap up the year, I've discovered that, if we're not intentional, many people may end up finishing the year worse than they started it. They may end up finishing the year worse than they started it. Now, this verse we have just read is a prophetic picture of what most of us are believing for in the remaining days of 2025. What you see in this passage is what I call a quantum leap. The term quantum leap is borrowed from, the word from quantum physics. And this describes how a particle matter leaps from one space to the next. It is an abrupt change, sudden increase, or dramatic advancement. And this picture of possibility is not only for matter only, it is also a picture of possibility for you and I as believers. It is also an indication of an alternative way that God moves you forward. An indication of an alternative way that God is able to move the believer forward. A way that God is able to take the believer and transform the believer's life and bring the believer to his desired destination. It is an alternative way that God prepares the believer to be able to come into the things that he has ordained for the believer. So most of us are accustomed to taking steps. And there is nothing wrong with taking steps. But I came to alert you tonight that God is not only the God who orders your steps. He is also the God who will orchestrate and empower you to leap. That is, he is not only the God who orders our steps. He is also the God who has a way of orchestrating events and empowering us at the same time to be able to experience a leap. And I declare over you, in the remaining days of this year, receive the grace to take leaps in the name of Jesus. I say receive the grace to take leaps in the name of Jesus. You have too much ground to cover. So for some of you right now, taking steps will not cut it. Therefore, right now, I declare again over you, you are empowered to take leaps in the name of Jesus. You are empowered to take leaps in the name of Jesus. Some of you have too many mistakes to recover from. So you do not have the time to take steps. The time is too short. You don't have the time to take steps. Therefore, again, I pray for you tonight, be empowered to take leaps in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare, enter into your season of a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. I say, enter into your season of quantum leap in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that God makes your feet like hinds feet, according to Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 19. He said, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer of my strings instrument. The hind is the deer. The deer doesn't take steps. The deer leaps. And God is saying, he is making your feet like that of the deer. He is making your feet like that of the hind. And I pray for you tonight, as your amen agrees with me, may you take that leap in the name of Jesus. I say receive grace to take the necessary leap in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to take that leap in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hear this, friends. How far you are going to go before the end, before the year is over, it is going to be determined by who you are not willing to listen to. Not only who you are willing to listen, but also who you are not willing to listen to. So for you to posture yourself for a quantum leap, it means then you will have to reject the idea that process can only happen incrementally. Or rather, you have to reject the idea that success can only happen incrementally. You will have to reject the idea that success can only happen for you incrementally. Hear this, friends. There are certain seasons where progress will happen for you incrementally. But I came to tell you, this is not that season. I said, this is not that season. There are certain seasons where progress and success happens for you incrementally. But I came to announce to you, this season is not one of those seasons. Therefore, I pray for you today, receive the grace to take a leap in the name of Jesus. Understand that average is not an option for you as a believer. Normal is not a word that describes the New Testament believer. Normal is not the word that describes the believer that is in Christ, because there is nothing normal about the Jesus that you have received. There is nothing normal about the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. Therefore, friends, there is nothing normal about you. An average person lives a normal life, but when you choose not to live a normal life, do you know what people around you will say? They will say that you're dysfunctional. The reason why some of you appear to be dysfunctional before certain people is because you have refused to live a normal life like them. I pray for you today, may your journey in the remaining days of this year be abnormal in the name of Jesus. I say, may it be abnormal in the name of Jesus. There will be nothing normal about you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that tonight. Hear this, friends. They can call you whatever they want to call you. But one thing I know is, by the time this year is over, they will have nothing but to acknowledge that the hand of the Lord has been on you in the name of Jesus. And one of the things they will call you is, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. They will say to you, we didn't know that this is how it is going to turn out for you in the name of Jesus. By the time the Lord is done with you this year, the remaining few months, 60 days or 60 plus days, I decree and I declare, you will have achieved so much than you have achieved in the last 9 months in the name of Jesus.
I say you'll have achieved so much that you have achieved in the last 9 months in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord one more time. Give him praise. Friends, you and I must reject the notion that all progress can only be incremental. Just because something is normal doesn't mean it is true. Just because something is normal does not mean it is true. It is time for you and I to reject the normal mindset. Listen, friends. Yes, I admit there are areas of your life and there are times in your life where, you know, you will have a measured pace. There are times in your life where you will have a measured pace. I am not discounting that. But there are times also in your life where you will have incremental improvement. But there are other areas of your life and other times in your life where God positions you, empowers you to experience an exponential improvement, to experience an exponential growth. There are other areas of your life where God, you know, will allow you to take steps. Why? There are other areas of your life where God will have you take leaps, because when the time is too short, you don't take steps again. God empowers you to leap. And there are areas of your life, I believe in my spirit, where God doesn't want you to have only an addition. God wants you to multiply. And I declare over you, you will multiply in the name of Jesus. I say your wisdom will multiply in the name of Jesus. The anointing of God on your life multiplies in the name of Jesus. The grace of God on your life multiplies in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord one more time. And the Bible is full with examples of people, men and women, who had quantum leaps. And I've come to understand that God doesn't only empower us to turn things around, as I've been teaching in the last 2 weeks. He doesn't only empower us to turn things around. He also empowers us to turn ourselves around. He empowers us to turn ourselves around. The Bible is full with examples of men and women who had an exponential personal growth. You will see examples of many people in scriptures who experienced quantum leaps within a short period of time. Within a short space of time, they experience a quantum leap. And some of those people, they become a complete version of themselves, to the point where they become unrecognizable. They become a complete version of themselves, to the point where those who used to know them before could not be able to recognize them. Remember the man that Jesus delivered and healed. The Bible said that some saw him and said, it is him. Others said, it is not him. And they kept arguing among them. And the man arrived and said, I'm the one. Why? Because the man experienced a quantum leap, to the point where there was argument as to who he was. There was an argument as to who he was. Hallelujah. So when you look at the things that God did in certain lives, in the lives of certain people in scriptures, when you look at how it was done in their lives, it was unreal, it was illogical. Some people who saw the growth and exponential increase and change in the lives of those people actually misinterpreted it. And that is what happens when God transforms you. People around you cannot understand. They misinterpret, because they used to know you to be here. And all of a sudden, by the next day they saw you, you have been transformed completely to the person they knew that used to be there. And all of a sudden they said, he is using the power of snakes. If snakes is that easy, go and collect one and use. Go and collect one and use. Isn't it? Give the Lord your praise tonight. As they give Jesus your praise. So friends, tonight I came to announce what God is about to do for you in the remaining days of this year. It will be mega and fast in the name of Jesus. I say what God will do for you in the remaining few days of this year. It will be mega, it will be fast in the name of Jesus. I say God will do it mega and fast for you in the name of Jesus. Hear this, friends. God can do it mega and also do it very fast for you all at the same time. Because often we think that for God to do it mega for us or big for us, he will have to take long. Because we always think that God is a human being. But friends, God is not a man. He is not a man. So I came to tell you that God will do it for you, mega and fast, in the name of Jesus. Understand that your heavenly Father lives outside of human chronology. That is to say, he is not regulated by time. So it doesn't take long for him to do anything big in your life. It doesn't take him time. And I stand here to announce, as you agree with me tonight, the Lord will do it for you mega. He will do it for you fast in the name of Jesus. I say you will have a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. One moment you can be known as Jacob and you sleep the night, you wrestle with an angel. By the time you wake up in the morning, you are no longer a Jacob, you have become an Israel. One moment you were a cheat, you were someone whose life was full of trickery. And another moment, by the time the Lord is done with you, you are now a prince with God. Quantum leap. He slept as Jacob, encountered the angel. The angel moved his hip, and by the time he woke up in the morning, he woke up another man. By the time these two Wednesdays are over, you will be turned into another man in the name of Jesus. You will be turned into another woman in the name of Jesus. You will be turned into another man in the name of Jesus. You will experience a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord if you agree with me tonight. Celebrate the Lord if you agree with me tonight that the Lord is about to transform you completely to the point where you will become unrecognizable in the name of Jesus. Give me two powerful amen. Two. Celebrate Jesus. I don't know about you, but for me and my household, we are expecting a quantum leap. For me, my wife, my children, we are positioning ourselves for a quantum leap. And if you care, you can join us. But again, if you don't want to, it is not a problem. You can stay where you are, but I've chosen in the remaining days of this year, Kayana, Mere, Gede, Baya, Gada, my family and I shall experience a quantum leap. And anybody that cares to join, you will experience it too in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. I believe we have stepped in into a season of a quantum leap. Child of God, it is your season of a quantum leap. I say it is your season of a quantum leap. I say it is your season of a quantum leap. You have stepped into things that will happen for you that have never happened for you in the last 9 months. In the name of Jesus. Don't pack your nets yet. And what's his name? Peter began to wash his net. And Jesus said, no. I am the God who knows how to bless your end better than your beginning. I know how to bring increase into your end. Your latter shall be greater than your former. It's not a cliche. It is a certified promise that cannot be reversed. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So when we go back to our text, when the Bible introduces us to Gideon, You clearly see a man that is not aware of who he is. And that's what I've been teaching you. It's not DNA, it's Christ. Because when you're not aware of who you are, you cannot expect to experience a quantum leap. And in that chapter contextually, when you read that chapter contextually, the Israelites, they were in a season of correction. They were in that season of correction, and they thought that they were that the season in which they were in, it was a coincidence. They were in a season of correction, but for them, they thought it was a coincidence. The Bible actually tells us in Judges chapter 6 verse 1, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. So they were in the season of correction, but they thought it was coincidence. So they thought it was just life happening. How many believers are in a season of correction and they thought it's just a coincidence? How many believers are in a season of correction and they thought life is happening? No. They were in a season of correction and they thought it was coincidence. They thought life was just happening. And before I say the next thing I want to say, I want you to listen to this carefully. Let me draw attention to this. Understand that the scripture, they say we interpret Bible with Bible. You interpret scripture with scripture. So there is something called hermeneutics in Bible literacy. And I want us to pay attention to this carefully. Pay attention to this. Now, hermeneutics says it is that we all have the lens through which we interpret the Bible. We all have our glasses, our goggles, through which we interpret the Bible. And our lenses affect what we see and how we interpret the Bible. So, for example, if someone is born again and they have father wounds, they never got to experience the love of a father, or there was never a father present, they will struggle to relate with God as a father, because they will read scriptures when it comes to, you know, verses that talks about God being a father, they will not be able to relate properly, because why? They have father wounds. So what should happen to such a person now is you take such a person, fix their lenses. Why? Because there is nothing wrong with the Heavenly Father. So you take them to fix their lenses, so that when their lenses is fixed, they can be able to see properly. It's like when you have, you know, your reading glasses, and if it is blur, what do? You clean it, isn't it? Do you gouge your eyes out or tear the book? No, you don't gouge your eyes out. You don't tear the book. So you take the glasses, you wipe it so that whatever has stained it is removed. Then you put it back. You are able to see clearly. So that is what you do to such a person. You fix their lenses. Another example also is if someone is having a forgiveness issue, forgiveness challenges. Yeah, when they read a scripture that talks about forgiveness, and you know that can become a trigger. When they read scriptures where, you know, the scripture talks about how many times do I forgive, you know, my brother? Jesus told Peter 70 times 7. That can become a trigger, because they have forgiveness issues. They feel that you don't know what they have done to me, and you're telling me to forgive them. So what do you do as well? You take such a person, you fix their lenses so that they can begin to see clearly according to what is in the mind of God. So when the Bible said, I've said all of that to say this, I'm trying to correct Judges chapter 6 verse 1. So when the Bible said God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites, he didn't mean that God caused the Midianites to capture them. That wasn't what he meant. Because in the Old Testament, you will see a lot of things like that. You will see most of these things. You actually find it in the Old Testament. You don't find it in the New Testament. You will never see those things in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. You won't find that in all of the Pauline writings. You won't find that. You only see that in the Old Testament. And for the youths who get into arguments where people will come and tell you, you know, that your God is a wicked God, he's killing people. If you notice, they pull Old Testaments. Now, I'm trying to correct that for you. Now, the reason why you find that only in the Old Testament is because of the lens with which they were interpreting their dealings with God. It was the lens with which they were interpreting their dealings with God. Understand, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Apostle James tells us, if evil is happening to someone, God is not the one doing that evil. God is absolutely good. There is no evil in God. He doesn't use evil to teach people a lesson. He doesn't use evil to torture people. He doesn't use evil to force people to be obedient. There is no evil in God. The law of absolute says, if something is absolutely cold, that means you will never find any trace of heat. God is absolutely good. You will never find any trace of bad or evil in God. It is not possible. Even if he wants to be evil, he can't. Are you understanding me now? So James helps us to understand this. Now, God doesn't have to use evil to test you or perfect you. Neither does he cause evil to come to you in order to test or perfect you. I've heard people who say, you know, the sickness worrying you is God trying to teach you a lesson. God never teaches you a lesson with sickness. If any sickness attacks your body, arise, take authority over that sickness, command it to vacate. Are you understanding me now? You will not find that in the New Testament. You can't find such a thing in the New Testament. When God cannot tempt with evil, he doesn't punish with evil. God cannot punish the believer. Do you know why? The wrath of God was laid on Jesus. Jesus took all of the anger of God. God can never be angry with you. No matter the sin you committed, He can never anger God, because that is what the Bible says. Anyone that sins against me, they wrong their own soul. You're not disturbing God. Jesus took all of the anger of God. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Jesus took all of the anger of God, nailed it to the cross. The Father was satisfied with the sacrifice called Jesus. That is why the blood of Jesus is perfect for time and for eternity. It cannot be reversed. Celebrate the Lord one more time. So in the Old Testament, when you see words like God delivered them into the hands of their enemies, it is not active, it is passive. It is not active. I'm saying all of that to bring you to where I want to bring you to. So what it means is that the Israelites, when the Bible said in chapter 6 verse 1, that and God delivered them, what it meant was that the Israelites rejected the leadership of God. And as a result, they forfeited his protection. When you reject the leadership of God, the consequence is you forfeit his protection. They rejected the leadership of God. So automatically, for rejecting the leadership of God, they no longer have the protection of God. The Bible says, when you read that scripture very well, the Bible says, in the days of Judges, there was no king in Israel. Every man and every woman did what was right in their own eyes. It was a period of political and moral chaos. It was a lack of, central human king, meant there was no single authority to provide leadership or enforce laws. So as a result, it resulted in social disorder and decentralized system of tribal judges. So they were simply saying, God, we reject your leadership. And God said, it is okay. If I don't lead you, I can't protect you. If I don't lead you, I can't. That is why you see sometimes certain things happen to the believer. It is not because God brought you into it. It's because when you reject the leadership of God for your finances, for your marriage, for your career, you open up yourself to be afflicted. Parents, know this. The instructions you give your children are also for protecting them. It is difficult, hear me. It is difficult to protect those who don't obey you. It is difficult to protect those who don't obey you. So when the Bible said there that God delivered them, so it's God didn't hand them, create evil for them. They rejected his leadership. Automatically, they forfeited his protection. So even when God tells us as believers, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. What he's simply saying is, I'm trying to protect you. So in that scripture, they had rejected, in the book of Judges, they had rejected the leadership of God. And as a result, they forfeited the protection of God. They didn't know that the Midianites have always been their enemy. They only discovered that when God left them. They didn't know that the Midianites have always been their enemy. They only discovered that when God left them. The Midianites have always been their enemy. It was just that God protected them. And they had never had to, have dealings with the Midianites. Why? Because God was protecting. There are things God is protecting you from. You're not having dealings with. And you think it is by your own power. No. That is why when a believer says, I no longer need God, my friend, you are treading in dangerous waters. And you saw, last week when Sean was teaching, you saw King Asa, what happened to him? When he rejected the leadership of God, he exposed himself. I pray for you, may you not reject the leadership of God in the name of Jesus. So hear this, friends, just because your enemies are not active doesn't mean they are not present. Just because your enemies are not active, it doesn't mean they are not present. And enemies here is not just people. I'm also talking about adversities, troubles, trials. So God was simply saying to them, you have all kinds of danger in your proximity. They were not getting to you because I was the hedge around you. And that's why the Bible will tell us, when you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. I was the hedge. And so the Midianites have always been there. It's just that I protected you so much that they were afraid of you. I protected you so much that they couldn't get to you. Hear this, friends. The reason you and I should maintain a consistent praise to God is because of the hedge the Lord has built around us. There are things that God has done for you this week you're not even aware of. You're busy crying, I didn't buy the car, I didn't buy the house. And God is saying, by now, according to Satan's timetable, you ought to be 6 feet down. I protected you. I delivered you. I saved you. I fought for you. You are fighting that they stop the business. The business or not what they were trying to stop. You were the ones they were looking for. But I stood my ground and told them, you can't touch his life. You can take everything. The Bible said, Satan came and said to God, remove the hedge around Job and see if I will not torture him. The very moment God shifted a little bit, you saw the chaos that happened to Job. Children die, business die, everything. My friend, I want you to always rise in the morning and give God praise, because if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have destroyed us. Thanks be to God who is on our side. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. The protection of your children from danger you didn't know about. My friend, give God praise one more time. Please celebrate him. The Lord has been the hedge around you. So as we continue, God looks for a deliverer for them. They stayed 7 years in the bondage of the Midianites. Who are the Midianites? I discovered that the Midianites were the descendants of Midian. And Midian was the son that Abraham had with the woman, one of his wives, the woman named Keturah. So this enemy they were dealing with was the enemy they were related to. They were dealing with the enemy they were related. I call it enemy within. They were dealing with enemies they were related. So that means the jealousy has always been there. It's just that time has not allowed the jealousy to express itself. So sometimes you see people, all of a sudden, it looks like they're jealous of you. You know, where did it come from? It has always been there. It's just that the jealousy had not manifested because you were still at the lower level. When you started rising and they were not expecting you to rise, your rising triggered the jealousy. It triggered it. Boom. They looked at you and looked at themselves, because according to their timetable, they have a better background than you. My friend, give the Lord your praise tonight. So the Bible said they cried to God for deliverance, and God sent an angel to a young man. After the prophet prophesied, he sent an angel to a young man named Gideon, who was threshing wheat in the wine press. Threshing wheat in the wine press. I will not bother that. Let's leave that. You know, the Midianites were a different kind of enemies. You know, there are enemies who don't have intentions to eliminate you. They were different kinds of. They didn't have the intention to eliminate Israel. Their goal was to impoverish them. I believe they see them making so much progress. You know, there are people who see you making so much progress. They don't want the fight for your progress to be aborted. Their problem is the progress. They didn't want to eliminate them. Their assignment was to impoverish them. So they were partner. Actually, let's read it. Judges chapter 6. Put verse 2 and to 6 for me. Let's read together. Judges chapter 6. Hayana Maradara. Liga Dalaba. Look at this. They didn't have the intention to eliminate them. Their job was not to eliminate them. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. Verse 3 says, so it was whenever Israel had sown, they wait for them to plant. They wait for them to hustle. They wait for them to labor. Midianites will come up, and also Amalekites and the people of the east. So they will go and bring other enemies. Haven't you noticed sometimes your enemies collaborate? Those who don't like you, they just collaborate. They become friends. Where are they friends? You are the one that I brought them together. And I pray for you. Any gang up against you, I scatter them by fire in the name of Jesus. I scatter them by fire in the name of Jesus. Surely they will gather, but because their gathering is not of God, for your sake, I abort their gathering. I scatter them in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Also, the Amalekites and the people of the east will come up against them. Verse 4 says, then they will encamp against them, destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. Next verse. For they will come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. They will enter the land to destroy it. Whatever has entered your destiny to destroy, I root it out by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever entered your marriage to destroy, I root it out by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever entered your business to destroy, I root it out by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever sickness has entered your body to destroy your life, I root it out by fire in the name of Jesus. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They were greatly impoverished. Greatly impoverished. So this enemy was not interested in their debt, but was interested in their poverty. So for 7 years, Israel was working, grinding, hustling, with nothing to show for it. Laboring, and their harvest didn't look like their labor. There are some of you listening to me. Your harvest doesn't look anything like your labor. I pray for you today. I stand in my apostolic office, lifting up the regalia of my assignment. I decree and I declare that story changes in the name of Jesus. I say it changes in the name of Jesus. I say it changes in the name of Jesus. Your harvest will be greater than your labor in the name of Jesus. So Gideon was hiding. In his hiding, an angel comes to him and tells him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's what the NIV will say. King James will say, mighty man of valor. NIV will say, mighty warrior. Gideon. Luke and said, who are you calling mighty warrior? Mighty warrior in my hiding? So it is either God is lying or Gideon, your behavior is lying. So hear this, friends. Your behavior is lying to you. Thus, I've taken the time to teach you about you being Christ. Your behavior is lying to you because your behavior is the exact opposite of what God calls you. Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty warrior. Then he said, he now said to God, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Gideon was so upset with the situation to the point where he was missing the fact that God wants to use him to change it. Are you so upset with your situation? You're missing the fact that God wants to use you to change that situation. Are you so upset with the situation in your family that you are losing and missing the fact that God wants to use you to change the situation in your family? He was so upset. He was missing the fact that God wanted to use him. Finally, Gideon accepts the assignment. After he put God to test and he accepted the assignment, then he chose 32,000 men. And God trimmed it down to 3. Judges chapter 7 verse 8. Put on the screen for us. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelite home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions. Take note of that. He took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now the camp of the Midian lay below him in the valley. From 32,000, he was left to 10,000. Now God says to him, God trimmed it down first of all from 32. He removed 22. They were left to 10,000. God says to him, it is too much. So he trimmed it down to 300. The other 9,700 men left. Now the Bible said the 300 men remaining took over the provision. They didn't go with their provision. They left it. So the other 300 men, even though they were few in numbers, they still had the provision of 10,000 men. Some of you, you've lost some clients. And you're wondering, will I ever make more money? Like I used to have 100 clients. Now they are reduced to 30. I came to announce the same 30 will deliver the profit of 100 clients in the name of Jesus. I said the same 30 will deliver to you the profit of 100 clients in the name of Jesus. God said, tell them, let them leave the provision. They are not going with the provision. So the 300 men had the provision of 9,700 men. So they have provision of 10,000 men. Sometimes what you think is a loss is actually not a loss with God. Because with God, you are more than enough. Some of you right now, it looks like, you know, it looks like everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. Well, I came to declare, you still have God on your side. God is still on your corner. God is still with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I prophesy, receive your provision in the name of Jesus. No matter who left and didn't leave, receive your provision in the name of Jesus. No matter who left and didn't leave, receive your provision in the name of Jesus. Listen, when we're moving into this building, God said to me, tell those who say God doesn't speak, they are deaf. God said to me, he said, I will deliver with few or with many. He said, what stops me? As of then, almost everybody has walked away. You show anybody the vision of the place, they run. Because sometimes they are thinking God is depending on their pockets. When heaven announces a vision, it's not depending on your pocket. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. And a life church moved into this place with a few men. We moved in to clean up the place and set it up. We spent almost close to 1 million rands. I can't tell you I knew where the money was coming from. My father doesn't own anything. My father is broke. He was poor. There's no inheritance he left. He didn't leave anything. Some of you are at least blessed. Your father have left things for you. I didn't know where it was coming from. One of the days, we were cracking our head. A family called us. I said, come and take 250,000 rands. I asked my wife, is it for real? So they still had the provision. Oh, let me close somewhere here quickly. Some of you think that those who left you, it is finished for you. It is not finished for you. They just left. It wasn't God who left. I say it wasn't God who left. God didn't leave you. It is man who left. And if God is still with you, my friend, rejoice. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give the Lord your praise this small evening. And I believe when God said to Gideon, Acts, the first 32, God said to him, when he wanted to trim me down to 10,000, he said to Gideon, ask those who are scared to go home. 22,000 men left instanta. Do you know what God was trying to show to Gideon? God was trying to show to Gideon that you don't have what you think you have. You don't have what you think. You think you have 32,000 men. You don't have. Let me show you that you don't have what you think you have. God was simply saying to Gideon, you are actually losing what you never had. You never had those 22,000 men to begin with. So God was saying to Gideon, I just freed you from the illusion of thinking that you're going into a battle with 32,000 men, and yet you don't know that you already are minus 22,000. Sometimes there are things that God allows us to lose that we think we are losing. God is simply saying, you never had it in the first place. The man was never your man in the first place. So you are living an illusion. She was never your own in the first place. It was never yours. So what you thought you were losing, you were actually not losing. It was what was never yours that was just going. And I pray for you, may you never cry over what was not yours in the name of Jesus. and say, may you never cry over what was never yours in the name of Jesus. So God turned the battle in their favor. Their enemies started fighting each other. And when they started fighting each other, you know, God ultimately gave them victory. I came to declare the table has turned in your favor in the name of Jesus. The table has turned in your favor in the name of Jesus. I don't know who it is. The table has turned in your favor in the name of Jesus. But where I'm going to is Gideon. Gideon experienced an exponential growth. When God won the war for him, when he returned from the battle, people who had ignored him all his life lifted their voice and they said, verse 22, chapter 8, verse 22, they said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us from the hand of the Midianite. Gideon experienced a quantum leap to the point where those who ignored him had no choice but to celebrate him. They may have ignored. I came to announce they will celebrate you in the name of Jesus. Listen, this is for someone under the sound of my voice. Don't despair, because people only know your chapter 6. I don't know who you are. You are about to enter your chapter 8. By the time you enter your chapter 8, it will be obvious to everyone in the name of Jesus. In chapter 6, Gideon was fearful. Gideon was timid. Gideon didn't know anything. But by the time the Lord brought him to chapter 8, they said, rule over us. That was a quantum leap. I prophesy. You have entered a season of quantum leap in the name of Jesus. I declare over you tonight, experience a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. Leap from your chapter 6, enter your chapter 7 in the name of Jesus. Leap from your timid level, enter your bold level in the name of Jesus. Leap from where they ignored you to where they celebrate you in the name of Jesus. I move you from chapter 6, I bring you to chapter 7 in the name of Jesus. I'm not leaving you there. I bring you to chapter 8 in the name of Jesus. Experience a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. Experience a radical transformation in the name of Jesus. Metamorphose in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Gideon, a man that was ignored. The least in my family. My family is the least in the land. My tribe is the least in Israel. But by the time the Lord was done with him, Gideon experienced a quantum leap. Ah, from the man that was nobody to the man they gathered together as a rule over us. They are about to gather together and coronate you. You didn't hear me. They are about to gather together to enthrone you. They have ignored you. They have ignored you. They have ignored you. But I declare, in this season of a quantum leap, they will gather to celebrate you in the name of Jesus. They will gather to elevate you in the name of Jesus. They will gather to enthrone you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. There's a rule over us. Not just you, your sons and your grandsons. Rule over us. Rule over us. Rule over us. You may have started this year in chapter 6, but I came to announce over you, you are ending 2025 in chapter 8 in the name of Jesus. There is a version of you that has emerged. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I say, receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I don't know who this is for. You are not who they say you are in the name of Jesus. You are who God has called you to be. Mighty warrior in the name of Jesus. I say, mighty warrior in the name of Jesus. Mighty warrior in the name of Jesus. Mighty warrior in the name of Jesus. Leap into your chapter 8 in the name of Jesus. Leap into your testimony in the name of Jesus. Leap into your victory in the name of Jesus. Leap into your marriage in the name of Jesus. Leap into your academic success in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I receive a quantum leap. Thunder, I am in my season of quantum leap. Give me 3 amen. 2, 3. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Let's rise on our feet. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.